Hey there, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of the Home Class Movie Chat. We are so excited for you to be here
Hey,
today.
hon,
Yes? What?
what about the intro music?
I forgot about that. Here comes the music.
Everybody, welcome back to the Home Class Movie Chat and Everything About Movies podcast. We are your movie addicted hosts, Married Couple Cat
And Paul.
And we are delighted to have you here today to talk about
a very, very weird movie that we actually watched. Now, the trailer was awesome.
The trailer was hilarious.
The trailer was really great. The movie itself leaves a lot of holes.
And a bit to be desired.
No, the desire part was good. Actually, I enjoyed it. But the fact is, it just
No,
didn't.
I wasn't fulfilled. It didn't
It
do it for me.
just didn't tie up the whole thing. What movie are we doing today? We are doing the movie that is currently on Shudder, and it was premiered at Sundance in 2014, Life After Beth. Now, if you've never heard about it, look, in all honesty, neither had I, but I've got Shudder, so I haven't to go through and look at certain things as far as what movies I would like to put
And if
on
you
the.
don't know what Shudder is, what is Shudder?
Shudder is a streaming platform completely and utterly designed for the horror freak.
A subscription
It is definitely a
platform. It
subscription.
requires money.
It certainly does, but it is all geared to right towards horror fans. So it is wall to wall horror.
Which is why I usually don't even walk in the room if I know he has it on.
Yeah, she doesn't really watch horror. Shudder, but this one, I saw the preview and I'm like, okay, this is something we could seriously do, and. We sat down and we watched it, and it was like, okay, it was good, not great. It was good. It was funny in parts, but it did leave a huge gap as to how it all started
and how it ended.
Well, how exactly, because
as far
it...
as we know, the zombie apocalypse is still going on.
Yeah, spoiler alert. But the thing is that we just didn't know how it all started. And then how did it abruptly end, or did it end? We don't really know. So this is an American zombie comedy film. It's
a rom-zom-com.
Yeah, it is still in the genre of horror. But, you know, it's got
It's basically a zombie romantic comedy. So a rom-zom-com.
Yeah, it does have a decent cast. It's got Aubrey Plaza. She actually plays Beth Slocum.
You may know from Parks and Recreation.
Yep, we've got John C. Reilly. He is a legend of comedy. He plays Maury Slocum. And we've
her
got...
mother, or her father, rather.
Her father, Anna Kendrick. Who was she?
Anna Kendrick was one of... what's her name's friends in Twilight?
Oh yes. God, what's yeah, I know.
Yeah.
The main
I haven't
girl.
Had enough coffee yet.
No, the main girl. God damn it.
And she also had the lead in the Pitch Perfect movies.
Oh, okay. And she plays Erica Wexler. And then we go down to an awesome woman who is in amazing in comedy, Molly Shannon.
Oh, Molly is just legend. And, she got her start on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, and she plays Jeannie Slocum. So it's
Beth's mother and the indomitable Matthew Gray Gubler from Criminal Minds.
Oh yeah, you were saying about that. Yeah,
who's rather in Criminal Minds is rather geekily heart. He's heartthrobby for the girls who really like geeks.
Now, as I said, the release date at Sundance was January the 19th, 2014, but then it had a limited release starting on August the 15th, 2014. The running time of the movie is 89 minutes. This is where it's going to fall flat on its face. The budget for this movie was $2.4 million. The box office taking was $274,717.
Oops.
Which is
dun, dun, dun.
It's
do you have a Rotten Tomato score?
Yeah, I do, unfortunately. So Life After Beth actually received mixed reviews. The review aggregate on the Rotten Tomatoes website gave it 45%. Now remember, 50 and over is good. Sorry, no, 60 and over. 60 and over is good. 60 and below is...
I thought it was 70 and over was good.
No. It only scored 5.4 out of 10. Based on 96 reviews, so that really, and they did say that in spite of Aubrey Plaza's committed performance, Life After Beth remains a sketch-worthy idea that's been uncomfortably sketched to a feature-length film.
You know, I wouldn't disagree with that.
Yeah.
And that being said, the guy who played her dad,
John C. Reilly.
Yeah, John C. Reilly. I thought he, in some ways, kind of overplayed his part.
I think he was, because he was, I mean, other than Molly Shannon, I mean, the other guy, what was the other guy? There was
Molly Shannon, Paul Reiser.
Paul Reiser,
and
yeah.
I was going to get to that in a second if you let me finish my thought.
Sorry.
So John C. Reilly, I thought, overplayed. It was a bit overacted. Molly Shannon, I thought, was brilliant. I thought she was kind of the runaway. And the line from the woman who played Zach's mom of "Where's the Xanax?" I thought was hilarious.
Oh.
Where's my Xanax? But Paul Reiser was seriously underutilized. Paul Reiser, I have been a massive Paul Reiser fan ever since the late 80s, early 90s, and the debut of Mad About You.
Thank you. I was watching the movie trying to figure out where the bloody hell did I know him from.
He is a comic genius. He is just king of the dry one-liners, and just his delivery is impeccable. And they didn't really use him.
No, we didn't see him very much at all. I mean, as I said, the movie does revolve around Beth and her boyfriend.
Yeah, but
just fill-in characters.
Even the times that we did see him, he was nothing.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I'm sure he did not come cheap.
No.
And they just didn't use him. And it's just like, come on, guys. If you're going to have a talent like Paul Reiser, for crying out loud, honestly, he would have been better as Beth's father, I think. I think if you'd switched those two roles, it would have been a better movie.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is that he really seemed to just phone his... It was almost like he actually understood how much of the script he was going to be in and just went, you know what? I'm just going to play this half-hearted.
No, I don't. I think that's on the director, not the actor.
Really?
I'd put that one on the director, not the actor.
Okay. Well, before we get started on the podcast, remember, we have got a email address, which is hello@homeclassmoviechat.com. There you can reach out to us and suggest movies that we might like to do. And if you're interested, also join us one day for a guest spot here on the podcast. But before we do get started on any podcast we do, we need to listen to the trailer. So sit back and relax, because here is the trailer to Life After Beth.
I'm a mess, Mr. Slocum. There's just like so many things that I wish I had told her.
Me too.
Did anyone leave a message for me today? The Slocums?
Nope, not today.
I think they're avoiding me.
That's no way!
Okay.
Where is she?
Listen.
She is not dead.
I went to her grave. There's a hole in the ground.
It's a miracle.
It's a miracle.
She's resurrected.
She's resurrected.
Okay, and that's better. Why? Why is that better?
It's from the Old Testament.
Why is all my stuff in boxes now?
Hey. Beth,
you're so beautiful.
I'm so happy you're back.
You don't want to eat me, do you?
Not right now.
No, I mean, like, really eat me.
I don't want my parents around.
Okay. It's not fun. It's weird. End of kiss, guys.
What's going on?
I wrote this for you.
This sucks.
Well, if you could just listen to your heart.
Zach, what's happening to me?
You ate a guy.
What do you want from me, Zach? I'm a zombie. Zombies eat guys.
So sorry about Beth.
I just like kind of wish she'd stay dead.
I want to eat.
Okay, fine. What do you want to eat?
I don't know. What do you want to eat?
What, you think you even want to eat food?
What the hell am I supposed to do? I'm falling so in love with you.
Where are you going? Maybe we can go for a hike or something.
I gotta go.
Baby.
No, stop.
Are you out of your mind? Look at her, Zach.
Okay, now that actually explains a lot.
Yeah.
This film was directed by Jeff Banna, and this is his first film. This was his first director. This is his directorial debut, and unfortunately, that actually explains a lot.
However, when you look at it, if this was his very first acting or directing debut, to get the heavy hitters that he's got, that's saying something.
Oh, yeah, that's, well, either that or he's just really well connected. because in Hollywood, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And how much money you have.
Yeah.
But But that being said, you can see the talent.
See, I haven't seen Paul Reiser for the longest time, so I don't know whether it was just for him, it was like, shit, I need a paycheck, or, I mean, John C. Reilly, he seems to be a constant acting, you know, actor through in Hollywood, you know, I mean, he doesn't play the biggest roles. I mean, he was, you know, in Step Brothers with Will Ferrell, which was a great movie, really, really funny. That's why, and he also was in Talladega Nights as well, and he always plays like the second banana. But there's a lot of great movies that he's in, so he seems to be a pretty consistent working actor. Now, whereas Paul Reiser, I hadn't seen him.
Well, actually, it's just because you just don't watch stuff that he's in.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm looking at his IMDb profile, and he's in the Netflix show that you refuse to watch, Stranger Things.
It's not so much that I refuse to watch it; it just hasn't grabbed me.
Yeah, same, but. Apparently they did something new about Mad About You, because it says that it went until from 92 to 2019. But I remember that ending in.
I didn't know it went anywhere past the 90s.
Yeah.
Well, there's our homework for today. Just go onto YouTube and find out where the hell this Mad About You 2019 is.
And that's where, you know, and I love that show.
However, that being said, now he was with Helen Hunt in that movie, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. It was really like the breakout for both of them.
Yeah,
and
so she
also
became
John Pankow.
Yeah, so she became a Hollywood actress, not a great one, but she's there.
That's actually why she left the show.
Because she went Hollywood.
Yeah, not to get way into Mad About You, but it's still one of my all-time favorite shows, that if I could ever find the DVD collection, I would totally buy it. But Paul Reiser is centered on Paul Reiser and Helen Hunt, a new married couple.
Yeah.
John Pankow played his cousin. Lila Kenzel was in it. Anne Ramsey was in it. Lisa Kudrow was actually in 24 episodes as Ursula Buffay, Phoebe's twin sister.
Right. Okay.
Hank Azaria was in it. This is actually where Hank Azaria and Helen Hunt met and eventually got married. They actually met on the set of Mad About You.
I didn't realize they got married.
Yeah. Richard Kind was on it.
See, the thing is that if you had, you know, this, and I don't know whether this thing is real with the 2019, but Helen Hunt is still considered a Hollywood actress, not a A-grade celebrity. She's, you know, a B-grade celebrity, but she's still there.
She was A-list at one point.
Very, very small time. Mm-hmm. But the fact is that, you know, the fact is that if you do have her come back for, you know, that sort of role, you'd have to pay her quite a substantial amount of money, or she would become the center point of that TV show. So if they did do that, which I'm intrigued to find out if they did, it would be overshadowed by her so-called star power.
And I have to admit, I love the fact that IMDb has credits for Marie the dog.
Well, put it this way, go on to Frasier, that, you know, that the dog on he's got his own little thing there as well.
But Murray was played by Maui.
Murray was played by Maui, which we didn't see the dog very much at all. So that really doesn't matter.
In what? Mad About You?
Oh, and Mad About You. Oh, yeah, we saw Murray. That's right. Yeah. I thought that's right. We did.
Yeah, I remember when he was chasing the mouse. It was
that's
hilarious.
That's right.
Yeah.
So the movie opens up where we are going to go back to the movie of Life About Beth after we've gone through Mad About You.
Yeah, we only talked for Mad About You for like 10 minutes.
And I'm sure there are people sitting there going, okay, so is this Mad About You or is this Life After Beth?
Well, get on with it already.
Well, you can do it. I'm not the person that has to run this bloody thing, you know? God. So the movie opens up where we're just seeing the opening shot of a woman. Now, we don't know this girl at all. She's just walking through the woods, which I don't consider to be like woods. It's not trees absolutely everywhere. It's hillside. There's a nice path going down. And she's looking at her phone. And, she, you know, the synopsis is that she looks back. She doesn't look back at all. She just is looking at her phone and then looks to the side of her as if to say, okay, I got to take that path, and continues walking. We don't know what's going on. We've got no idea. And then the big
Go on, the assumption is that that's Beth.
We figure that's going to be, going to be Beth.
Yeah, that's the problem with this movie. It doesn't link up certain concepts, so you're not quite sure what's going on at various points.
No. And then we transition from there after we see the big title page of Life After Beth. We're now at a supermarket, and there's this young guy standing in front of napkins.
Wearing a black suit.
Yeah, and he's
very sad.
And he's looking at napkins, and he is just, it's almost like the way that he looks is that he's having some sort of panic attack. He doesn't know what to grab. And there are people that do that. They go into that sort of setting and they just become overwhelmed by stuff that they need to get. Yeah. I know there's a phobia or something about that.
Decision overwhelm, too many options.
So he's standing there and he says to, and of course there's a supermarket employee that comes over to him and says, can I help you with something? And he goes, I need black napkins. And the guy goes,
it's not really the season for it. That's more of a Halloween thing. Maybe you could try a party store.
Yeah.
And when he says a party store, the guy in black looks like he's going to cry.
Yeah, because the supermarket employee says, well, there's beige. That's a different color than white. And he goes, no, it has to be black. That's never explained. Now, I understand that, you know, we do see after we've transitioned from here is that he's gone to a funeral. Now, I understand, and he comes up to the front door of this house and knocks on the door, and he says, hello, Mr. Slocum, and he gives the man some napkins, and the guy says, oh, that's so nice. I don't know why you would need black napkins. There's really no need for it.
Because black is the funeral color.
I know, but there's really no need to get black napkins. But he does actually have just white napkins.
No, but he's just thinking it's a funeral, you would want black napkins. It doesn't have to be stated.
Yeah. And of course, we do find out that he'd actually gone to his girlfriend Beth's funeral, and because she died from a snake bite, we don't know that either.
No, we were never told.
Yeah, but we were never told that she was bitten by a snake until
much later. Yeah.
Yeah. So of course, Zach is sitting. This is Zach Orfman. That was her boyfriend, and he's sitting on a couch or on a sofa, and he's just looking very.
Settee.
Like everyone would be, you know, who's grieving, and he's very, very sad. And people are coming up and giving their condolences to him. And of course, later on, he gets up in the middle of the night and he goes over to Beth's home.
Well,
and
before that, he's having dinner with his parents, and they're just acting like, okay, now we've been to the funeral, that's done, now we move on.
Yeah. And
it's like, well, why aren't you eating?
Yeah, and it's like, you know, and he's trying to explain to them that, you know, his girlfriend has died, and he just doesn't have that sort of feeling right now. He just wants to be able to grieve in his own time.
Yeah.
You can't set a time limit on grief. You know, you don't sit there and say, okay, so for the next 48 hours you can grieve, and then after that just sweep it under the rug and we're gone. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah,
so exactly. For him, he's still in the very early stages of the grief process. And we can see that when he was at the grocery store, because instead of being able to walk in, grab napkins and go, he could not even make that decision, even though his mind was, I need black napkins.
And I've been there when it's just such an acute grief, you just cannot process anything.
Yeah, everything in the outside world is way over the top.
Yeah, it's just too much to ask to make any form of decision.
Yeah, so...
Which is one of the reasons why they say when you've suffered a major loss, don't make any huge life-changing decisions within the first year.
Yeah, and that is understandable. And so we do see that he goes to her parents' house, and this is where we meet Maury and Jeannie, played by John C. Reilly and Molly Shannon. And of course, they it's really nice because Maury sits down and they start to play chess, and he's saying, you know, about the fact that he didn't get to say goodbye to her. You know, he wanted to actually say more to her. And of course, you know, there's Maury saying, I understand there are so many things that I wanted to say.
Well, what was he saying that his last words to her were? Last words to him were, you're being annoying.
Yeah, you're being annoying, Dad.
Oh, that's because he wanted her to make a dental appointment or something.
That's right. And
she's like, oh, Dad, you're so annoying.
Yeah. And he says, and he said to Zach, which is really interesting, he says, well, you know, if I based my last memory of her on that comment.
No, if I defined our relationship on the basis of that last comment and that memory, it would destroy me.
Exactly. But he said he chooses to look at the positives rather than just that negative sort of thing. Even though it wasn't really negative, it was just, Dad, stop nagging me, I'll get to it. You're so annoying. Yeah. Yeah. You know, it was that sort of thing. So yeah. Maury decides that, you know, just to relax and chill out and everything, we're going to take out a joint.
Well, I think this is where we also found out from Zach that she basically tried to break up with him right before she died.
Yeah, apparently they did have problems in their relationship, and it was sort of that sort of thing of like, well, you know, was it all, you know? But you know, Maury can see that Zach is hurting, so they decide to, you know, Maury takes out a joint and they decide to blaze up and smoke it with this young man.
Oh, I totally forgot I had a trivia piece for the bit where she was walking through the hills.
Oh yeah, please do.
So Nick Offerman apparently can be heard narrating the documentary on Machu Picchu in the beginning of the film.
See, the documentary on the Machu Picchu doesn't happen until after Beth's passed away. Is that the scene that you're talking about?
Because
he's sitting on the couch later. Yeah, he's sitting on the couch with Maury and with Jeannie. And
oh, that's right. He's watching it at the funeral or reception.
No, the reception. He goes to their house, and before they play chess,
they're watching the TV.
Yeah, and okay,
but the narrator is Nick Offerman, who apparently was in Parks and Recreation with the girl who played Beth.
Oh, okay. See, I have seen the little trailers of Parks and Recreation, but I've never sat down and watched it.
No,
so,
neither have I.
You know, and it's really lovely at this stage also because you know, it's like 3 o'clock in the morning, I should say, when he finally gets home. from being stoned
with his girlfriend's dad.
Yeah, but it's really nice because when he's about to say goodbye, there's Jeannie and she's putting all Beth's stuff into boxes, and he happens to see a really nice scarf, and he says, "Do you think I could have that?" And Jeannie's really nice. You know, Jeannie could be one of those mothers that goes, "Nope, I'm keeping everything. It's my child."
Well,
whatever.
I find it interesting that the day of the funeral, the day after the funeral, she's already boxing stuff up.
Well, I mean, it's either you do it right then and there or the inevitable that you're going to have to do it later. So
well,
I guess.
No, most people usually wait like at least 2 or 3 months just to let the really acute stage pass and then are able to start dealing with it. You don't do it like within 24 hours of the funeral.
Yeah, it's really interesting, just going on a bit of a side note, because there was a young girl that had gone missing here in Adelaide.
Which is in Australia, by the way.
Yeah. I think it was like the late 1990s. And the news reporters went back to her mother and father's house about 2 years after she'd passed away. And the bedroom had not been touched, and even Christmas presents and birthday presents had been left in her room because they were saying that we're not packing anything up. She's coming home.
Well, no, she wasn't. Did they know she was dead or just missing?
She'd been missing.
Okay, that's a completely different situation.
But with the fact that the police had said that we are almost 100% sure that she's been murdered.
Yeah, but until they have a body, the parents aren't giving up hope.
Yeah, well, they've never found the body.
That's too bad.
You know, so as we see, Zach has come home from being out getting stoned, and of course, at 3 a.m.
And I love how he comes in and is so carefully closing the door, and he's how carefully he puts his keys down. It's like when you're really drunk and you make those really deliberate moves to make sure it's.
But isn't it interesting that the quieter you try to be, the more the louder you are?
Yeah.
But he doesn't. He puts it so. I mean, you know, a mouse fart would be louder than what he's doing. But he puts the keys into the bowl at the front door, and suddenly you hear the mother and father say, "What time do you think this is? It's 3 a.m. in the morning. Are you going to bed?" And he's like, "Oh, yes, I'm going to bed. That's fine." But, you know, his family's advice to him is, "Okay, Zach, she's dead. She's buried. Move on." But yeah. Zach can't do it. He's an absolute wreck. And he continues to, you know, just have those feelings that he needs to be closer to the Slocums, which I understand that, you know, they're grieving. He's with.
And they're treating him more like a son than his own parents do.
Exactly. But then all of a sudden, you know, Zach's been trying to contact the Slocums and they stop contacting him. They won't receive his phone calls.
They won't allow him in the door.
Even at one stage, he goes to the door and they call a private security company, which just happens to be his dipshit brother on him.
Played by Matthew Gray Gubler.
Oh, man. This brother is not a nice brother
as all. As I said to you last night, he reminds me of Bill Paxton's character in Weird Science.
Chet.
Yeah. He reminds me a lot of him.
Chet was awesome, although he was an absolute bully and a dick.
Yeah, which is exactly what Greg Gubler's character is.
Yeah,
Kyle.
But this guy really was really nasty. And at one stage, we see that, you know, there's Zach and he's knocking on the front door and ringing the bell.
Wearing
the scarf, and it's summertime, mind you. And of course, the brother turns up in his, you know, uniform. Once again, you know, a uniform will actually make people think they're actually more important than they really are.
Yep.
And so he rings the doorbell and he says, oh, it's such and such security here, Mr. Slocum. And you hear from behind the door, oh, it's okay. Thank you very much. It's okay. Everything's fine.
Well, the funny part was you could hear like a TV or radio blasting when he got there. And as soon as he knocked on the door, they turned it off and pretended like they weren't home.
Yeah. So I was like, well, the cars are in the driveway. The TV was on that's turned off. Come on. We know you're home.
Yeah.
So, but it's really interesting that after his brother gets him to leave the property, he escorts him with following his brother's car away from the property. So it's like, oh, give me a break. So one afternoon, once again, Zach happens to go back to the property because he just won't leave well enough alone.
No, he just
And he peeks through one of the windows and he sees what he thinks
is Beth
walking the hall. So Zach absolutely freaks out.
She honestly looks a bit like a ghost just walking through the house.
Yeah. So there he is pounding on the door. And of course, once again, his brother Kyle has already said to him, you know, please, don't come here. But he goes, once again, they don't answer the door. So he decides, okay. So he's very suspicious of this. So he goes to her grave and he sees a hole on the ground where she, now this is interesting because the hole in the ground is as if you were standing up.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like someone has dug up.
Well, she's not going to dig out of the entire,
she's going to dig up
the entire grave.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, the hole is appropriate.
Yeah.
I still want to know how she got, well, then again, she does show superhuman strength later on, so I guess that's already part of it to best out through the casket.
Exactly.
Good thing she wasn't cremated.
I'd like to see her reassemble like a transformer.
Well, Captain Jack in Torchwood has this blessing curse of immortality, and there was one scene in the show Torchwood where he was blown to bits, and he reassembled
right as a transformer,
sort of. Yeah,
awesome.
But it was actually excruciatingly painful for him to reassemble after being blown to bits.
I was gonna say, wouldn't be the nicest.
No, it was pretty painful.
So of course, after we find that he's seen the hole in the ground, he once again goes back to her house and he is knocking feverishly on the door. And at one stage we do see that her father opens the door as if to say, you know, you
go
cannot
away.
Come in. And he does manage to push Moria away and runs through the house. And of course, he sees Jeannie trying to
shove Beth in a closet.
Trying to push Beth into a closet. It's like, oh my God. And then it's you got to come clean. What the hell is going on? Of course, Zach is excited to see Beth, but he's also alarmed to see Beth because he's like, well,
she was dead.
Yeah, and Beth's got no memory of being dead. Mm-hmm. And all she keeps saying is that she has a test to study for the next day. And she's like, and he's like, but it's summer. So
it's summer
break. Why would you have a test in summer break? So and of course, you know, this whole thing is going on. And he, you know, at one stage his father says, well, you know, I thought you guys were gonna have a break. And unfortunately, she mistaken Zach's questioning, thinking that he believes she believes that he cheated on her.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, no, that's not it at all, you know? And so the whole thing is playing out that Beth's confused. She's got this. She doesn't know what she's been doing. She knows she's got a test. And of course, Zach is trying to say, hang on a minute. Was this a big joke? Like, was this all a joke on me that you guys, you know, you wanted to have some time away from me, Beth? Because for some reason, because they were having problems in their relationship, Zach thought that Beth wanted to take some time away from him and go and see other guys, which is not the case at all. Beth had no intention whatsoever. But for some reason, Zach seems to think that this whole thing was put on as a big ruse to have them break up and have her spend time with other guys. It's like, well, that's a pretty big thing to do when you're going to fake your daughter's death. You're going to put on a funeral. You're going to tell everyone that she's dead just to break up with her. Come on.
Yeah.
You know, but of course that just, you know, that doesn't happen, you know? So we do see, however, that, you know, they you know, she wants to go for a hike. This whole thing is, let's go for a walk. Let's go for a hike. And of course, the father is like, nope, you can't go outside the house.
Go at night. It'll be safer.
Yeah, go hiking at night. And he's like, well, that's not really safe at all. And then, of course, this is when...
Because she's obsessed with wanting to go for a hike.
Yeah, she wants to... this is all she wants to do. She just wants to go for a hike. And, of course, this is when they all... Beth also says, well, what about we go for a swim? And, of course, Maury's like, yes, that's a good idea. The pool's heated. And, of course, you know, Zach's like, well, I don't have a swimming costume. And he goes, well, you can borrow one of mine. So they're sitting down at the side of the pool. And, you know,
Beth is still in the same dress that she wears throughout the entire show. She never changes her clothes.
No, same dress, same polka dot dress.
Which I'm pretty sure is the one she was buried in.
Yep. And the fact is that she also keeps saying that she's just really stressed about the test that she's got to take tomorrow. And she's got to study.
Yep.
But of course, as we're sitting there, Zach happens to look down at her leg, and on the left hand side of her leg,
on her thigh,
there is what
snake bite.
It's a very large snake bite.
Yeah.
So
it's like infected. And...
Very much so. But of course, she goes swimming with her dress on. So it's like, okay. You know, of course, we do see that as later goes home. You know, we're getting ready for Zach to basically be moved out of the house to go home because it's late at night. And of course, she does say, well, I'm going to sleep up in the attic. Now, this is interesting why she wants to go up in the attic, because she's got a bedroom, but she wants to go up in the attic. So we don't know
Dad suggest they go up to the attic the first
Originally, it was like, why don't you guys, kids, go up into the attic and sit? And, you know, it was very tastefully decorated, but. For some reason, they are drawn up into the attic, which we're going to find out later.
It's a bit of foreshadowing.
Yeah. So, of course, later one evening, you know, Zach decides that he wants to take, you know, Beth to the beach at night. Can't do it in the daytime. The father is adamant. Not going at the daytime. Has to go at nighttime.
No, but was it before that they went to the playground?
No, they haven't gone to the playground yet. This is coming up. So, as we see that they go to the beach and you know, he's got some candles there lit, and it's all very romantic, and he decides that he wants to serenade her with a song that he wrote.
Okay, because we knew that he was in a band, but when he was playing chess with the father, he said that he left the band because and he says, well, actually, no, I just left them.
Yeah.
So
when Beth was with him, she realized that he was in a band.
Yeah.
But now suddenly he's solo. So it's like, okay. And when he says to her that I'm going to serenade you with a song that I wrote, she's like, well, where's the band? And he's like, well, it's just me. I'm just solo now.
Yeah.
And he starts playing it, and she's like, what's this? And he's like, it's a song that I wrote for you. And if you listen to the lyrics, it's all about her death.
Yeah.
Very, very depressing.
And she's like, this is terrible.
She hates it. And so much so that
then he's like, okay, then I'll jump to the chorus. And she's like, no, this is horrible. This is awful.
It pisses her off.
Yeah.
And she freaks out and she starts breaking off the lifeguard stand, because that's where
First she grabs the guitar.
Oh, that's right. She throws it in the ocean.
Then she starts destroying the lifeguard tower and ends up setting it on fire.
And of course, she's trying to say, you know, exactly what's happening with me. And he's like, it's okay, Beth. It's okay. We'll just get to the car. So he tries to calm her down to take her to the car. But of course, he puts her into the car, and he barely turns around for a second before she breaks the window with her elbow. Mm-hmm. And he comes back to her, and he's like, what? And she's like, you were leaving me. And he goes, no, I'm not leaving you.
She's like, I felt so alone.
Yeah, I'm not leaving you. I'm just going around the car, and I'm getting into the driver's side. I'm still here. And of course, then he gets around and he gets in the car, and he's like, okay, are we good? And so she goes to put on her seatbelt, and she puts her elbow through the window, and she goes, you really need to get this fixed, because someone could break in and steal your radio. She's already punched a hole in the dashboard, mind you.
And she also ripped something out of the dashboard. But
that was the butt of the dashboard. She punches a hole and she pulls it out. So she's broken the window. She's put a hole through the dashboard, but she turns on the music and it's soft, smooth jazz. And she's like, oh yeah, this is nice. And Zach immediately goes, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Jazz?
Soft jazz?
And she's like, oh no, it's fine. It's very chill. So we realize now that there's something with regards to this music.
Oh,
that manages to calm her down. Yeah.
Well, did they say music saves the savage beast?
It now, does.
I forgot. We actually skipped over a little bit of foreshadowing.
Yep.
So I'm going to pause you for a second and go back to the first time that he goes back over to the Slocums during the day. And Pearline, their Haitian maid,
is
running out saying, I'm not going to have anything to do with this. I'm not going to stay here. I won't have anything. No, 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 no. And runs away.
This is the foreshadowing of what's happening. But there is an underlying thing of what happened with Pearline.
Yeah, but we're
getting to that.
Know that scene.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Before
yes.
we can talk about it later.
Yeah, we shouldn't have gone. Yeah. So we do see that there are people starting to act very oddly in the town. There's mood swings and spaced out behavior, just like Beth.
So then, isn't this where he gets approached by the mailman?
He gets home from with Slocums, and he's standing at the front door, and the mailman comes up and says to him, and he says, hi, such and such. And he says, hi, Zach. And he gives him just a handful of mail.
He's like, well, I'm sorry to hear about Beth. Here, Beth. This will make you feel better.
Yeah.
And he's like, this isn't our mail. And he's like, too bad. And jumps into his mail truck and runs over about three mailboxes and finally goes off down the street. Now, Zach is also said to this guy, I haven't seen you in like forever.
Yeah.
So, but I also, before we move on from him, though, I want to just say the mailman was actually played by Jim O'Hare, who also was on Parks and Recreation with the girl who played Beth.
Wow. So there's quite a lot of cast members.
Oh, you don't know the half of it.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. So, of course, now we see that, you know, Zach is starting, he needs a break from Beth because things are really starting to ramp up. Beth's becoming more and more aggressive. She's becoming more and more, I need this, I need that from you. And it's just becoming too much for Zach. So he goes to a diner, and we do see that there's a short order cook. And I remember you were saying something about this short order cook, that there he is. And he's, because first of all, Zach walks in and he's just sitting there and he's having something to eat. And there's a server that comes past and he says, is there any chance you can change the radio station? And he goes, what? The nice smooth jazz wave? Why would you want us to change that? And he goes, well, it's depressing. And he goes, well, sir, you're the only one that seems to be complaining about it, and everyone seems to be liking it. And then we see that there's a short order cook just freaking the hell out. I mean, he is just banging on the serving area, he's spinning around the where you put the tickets, and he's throwing, you know, food at the server.
Yeah, he's shoving the plates of food at the servers.
So he's becoming very aggressive. So it's like, oh, what the hell is wrong with him? So
I looked at you and I'm like, zombie. Okay, there was a show on Netflix a while back. It may still be there, called, I think it was The Returned. And it was where these people who had died like 5 years before suddenly start just showing back up in town.
God,
like,
happened. I hope to God, if I ever come back as a zombie, I don't come back to the same shit job that I've got right now. Yeah. If I come back and start doing the same job, please shoot me in the head. That's the only way you're going to get rid of me, for God's sake.
But I just look, and you were like, what the hell? And I look back at you and I'm like, another Returned.
Yeah. And it's because, you know, it's when you see it, when you first see it, you're like, oh, maybe he's just pissed off. But you figure out now with the smooth jazz and the way that he's acting, there's another one that's come back to life.
Yeah. You start realizing that the mailman was a returned.
Yeah.
The short order cook is a returned. And you start wondering, okay, so who else is a returned?
Yeah. Which is very, very interesting. So as he's sitting there, he sees there's a young girl that comes in by the name of Erica Wexler,
Anna Kendrick.
Yeah, and she sits with him and gives her condolences over the fact that, you know, Beth's passed away. And Zach...
Yeah, well, your mom talked to my mom about it.
Yeah, because they're in jazzercise together.
Is that even still a thing?
I don't know. But apparently they were childhood friends and they used to go to school together. And, of course, Zach's got a hard time of telling her what's going on. And he says, I just wish that Beth had just stayed dead. And you just see her face like, what do you mean
stay? Well, because he's like, oh, your skin is so nice and you smell nice, I can actually breathe around you.
Yeah, because at one stage he kisses Beth and he goes, oh, Beth, like your breath. So we can see that she's starting to decay. And also there was another part of the movie,
so they had sex at one point
before, yeah, that's coming up
now.
But there
they'd already had sex by now.
That
had the playground was like their first outing when they went out.
No, in the daytime. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But at one stage that they're kissing inside the house, and you can see that Beth's cheek is starting to decay.
Yeah.
And even the father says, look, you know, she went outside, her skin.
See, that was when they got back from her, from having
that's
sex
right.
on the playground.
Yeah. And that's when, you know, the mother is like,
yeah, he had sex with a zombie.
Yeah. And the mother is like, oh, we'll just put some rouge on her face and make
foundation
it look
on
foundation.
It.
She'll be fine. So we do see that, you know, Zach's like, okay, I'm finishing my meal, and he gets up, and of course he gets in the car, and as he's driving out of the parking lot of where the diner is, who
he's
comes
not
in?
Paying attention.
Beth is right in front of the car, and he slams into her and runs her
over.
But the funny part about it is that he runs her over, and he gets out of the car, and people are coming over to see what's happened because there's been an accident, and she's laying under the wheel going, oh, I'm stuck. I can't move. So then he has to get back in the car and drive
the car
over
off of her.
And when you see her get up, she's in the same polka dot dress with a huge tire mark straight through the center of her. But there's no dramas whatsoever. She's fine. Because he's to Beth, are you okay? And she's like, yeah, I'm fine. No problems. And she doesn't really care what's going on. And so we do see that once again, you know, she's trying to say to Zach, you know, where were you? I didn't know where you'd gone. And he's like, I just needed some time.
My dad said we're going to be together forever.
Forever. And we do see that Erica comes out saying, "What?" And she's got a whole stack of money. And she's like, I don't know what happened, but the server gave me all this money. So we assume now
that the
server
returned.
Was a return as well.
Now,
so
I'm going to pause you right there and just say that this is actually one of three films that Aubrey Plaza, who's Beth, and Anna Kendrick, Erica Wexler, have appeared in together, along with Scott Pilgrim versus the World and Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nice. There are so many little nuggets in this movie, yeah. I swear. So we basically see that Zach has had enough. He's like, he just cannot continue with what's going on. And of course, his father is refusing to tell her that she's dead. Because of maybe the ramifications that he knows
doesn't
what's
want to
happen.
Upset her.
Yeah. But Zach decides, that's it. I'm done. I got to do this. So he puts her in the car, and he ends up by taking her to her grave and tells her that, yeah,
you died.
You're dead. You died. And she's like, no, I didn't. And he's like, because when she looks at the gravestone, she's like, is this a joke? And he's like, no, that's your grave. You have come back. I don't know how, but you've come back. And we see then that poor old Zach's car gets a hell of a pounding because she gets into the car, you know, because she's so distraught, and she pushes him away, and she gets into the car and drives off in his car, running over several gravestones, and she just screws up this car something fierce. So then Zach decides, okay, well, that's it. Well, I've got no car. I'm going to have to walk home. So you see Zach get home, and he sees Kyle and his parents panicking in the living room. You're like, what's going on? And then all of a sudden, we see that Zach's dead grandfather is sitting in the living room.
Gary Marshall, who is just freaking brilliant. And
he's now,
say this is his last film?
Last film. I mean, he wrote and starred in TV shows up until his death, but this was his very final movie.
Well, and I said to you, I was like, oh my God, I swear that's Gary Marshall.
Yeah. Now, there was something that I actually forgot to...
And now keep in mind, Grandpa's been dead for how many years?
About 15 years.
Yeah.
Now, there was something that I accidentally omitted. So when Zach had gone over to Maury's house, and when he was talking to, you know, Maury about the fact with, you know, Beth being alive, you see that Beth keeps grabbing handfuls of dirt and going up into the attic. That is going to be...
That's
telling.
Foreshadowing.
That's a foreshadowing. So we do see that, you know, the grandfather keeps saying that, you know, he wants to go up into the attic. And this is when basically Zach says they just want to go up in the attic. I don't know what it is.
They like that.
But they just like the attic. And of course, Kyle, who's got a pretty big revolver, you know, he is ready to shoot everyone. I mean, he said, Desert Eagle, that's right. And he's like, I bought my Desert Eagle. I haven't shot it yet. I need to shoot something.
Well, and that's the thing is Zach walks in and he pulls the gun on him. And he's like, well, how do I know you're not one of them?
And he's like, I have to be dead to be one of them. You know, Zach, put the gun, Kyle, put the gun down. And it's at this stage that his grandfather goes to say something, and then Kyle shoots the grandfather. But that has absolutely no effect on him whatsoever.
Yeah,
then, of course,
you got to shoot him in the head.
Yeah. Then, of course, we get a ding dong at the door, and Zach's father opens the door and enters the previous owners of the house. So now the previous owners are there and they are reanimated. So Kyle tries to shoot at them, but they don't go down. And of course, we find that they are not flesh eating zombies. They're just very cranky undead people. So then all of a sudden we see that Maury arrives at the house to come and get Zach and tell him that it's his fault that this has happened since he went and told Beth about her death. And of course, he wants Zach to lie to her and tell her that he made up the whole story about her being dead. And they're like, no. And of course, they resolve to have Maury call the former housekeeper, Pearline, because they want to find out if she knows anything about stopping the zombies purely based on the fact that Pearline is Haitian. And it's like, well, why would you believe that she would be in on this, or how is she, just because she's Haitian doesn't mean she'd be able to stop this. But, you know, of course, Zach's idea is like, well, they deal with zombies, they do zombie sort of stuff, so it's a good chance that they might be able to, you know, maybe get this done. And so it's like, okay, no. But they go back to the Slocum's house, and of course, Beth is absolutely going berserk. She's breaking windows. She's busting holes through walls. She's just ripping the whole place apart. And she also comes back with her face caked in blood. We don't know exactly what's happened because we see her walk through a plate glass.
Well, we saw a guy run through the backyard.
And we see her walk through a plate glass window.
And then we hear some screams. And then she comes back covered in blood.
Yeah, that's right. And then she walks down the hallway, throwing pictures off the walls and then punching holes through the walls. And so it's like, no, okay. So this is when Zach decides.
Isn't this where there's the zombies eat guys line comes
this
in?
This is it, because Zach then goes and brings her into the car. And as he's driving away, because he wants to go to Pearline to find out what's going on.
Yeah.
And he says to the fact that, you know, I cannot believe it. You just ate a guy. And she goes, this is what zombies do, Zach. They eat guys.
Yeah.
That's like, okay.
Oh, you so, don't have a sound grab for that?
No. I don't have a sound grab for that one. No. So
that's
a
funny line.
I might throw a sound grab in there. We'll see how we go.
What the fuck?
Hey.
If this isn't a good idea. You should go back inside.
Why?
Zach? Shit, he's coming. Yeah. Zach! Stop!
Why are you being mean to me?
Because we're taking a break. You shouldn't even be here.
Dad said we're gonna be together forever.
Beth, you ate a guy.
Oh, what do you want from me, Zach? I'm a fucking zombie! Zombies eat guys!
Okay, so there's the sand grab of zombies eat guys. So we see that Zach goes to a motel to find Pearline, only to find her cousin there. Now we've left, you know, her in the car, but she's okay because she's got the soft jazz, so she's okay as long as you got soft jazz going, everything's fine.
Oh, I thought he went by himself to go.
He goes there.
So when Zach goes looking for Pearline, he insists that he instead encounters her cousin, which I still don't believe him that Pearline wasn't there.
I think she was there.
And he explains that the real reason that Pearline left, because Zach is convinced it has something to do with Beth's return, because the timing is just too coincidental.
Yeah,
otherwise.
And he thinks it's all about voodoo and zombies.
Right, and in fact, her cousin's like, oh, you think just because we're Haitian that we do voodoo? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
And the guy's, you know, the guy has a point.
Yeah.
But he explains that the real reason that Pearline left is because Mr. Slocum, Beth's dad, had sexual problems and used to walk around naked in front of her. And this is a completely unrelated to anything else in the film and makes absolutely no sense. And then the audience is given a brief moment to reflect on how it would be traumatic for the younger woman to see a middle-aged man naked, when a moment later the situation is reversed and Zach, a young man, is confronted by a returned naked middle-aged woman.
That's right, because when he does turn around after this guy shut the door, he turns around and there is a stark, raving, naked woman standing with the
autopsy scar.
And she says, was this, this is a car wash. And he's like, no, this is not a car wash. And she's like, oh, and she walks towards him. And my first thought was, oh shit, here we go. He's going to get eaten.
It's going to be like I was thinking,
I thought it was going to be like a zombie attack.
Well, no, I was thinking more along the lines of the embrace from room 213.
Oh, 237. Room 237.
What's the movie?
The Shining.
Thank you.
Don't freak out.
I couldn't remember the name of the damn movie.
Okay, everyone, I'm about to play soft, smooth jazz to Kat because I think she's turning. I'll play you some Kenny G. That will actually soothe you.
Do you want me to make you dip later today? Do you want me to make you deviled eggs later today?
I need dippage and deviled eggage. Yesage.
So the
naked woman doesn't actually attack him, but just walks away from him and goes towards the end of the balcony and just stands there and is just looking over the parking lot. So yeah. I was like, oh, okay. So we do see that Beth, unfortunately, she's taken the car and she's just gone. Once again, so the car's gone.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She took the car.
Yeah. So he returns home to find someone in his home. And of course, this is when Zach goes, excuse me, what are you doing? And this guy runs out away. And outside in the backyard, we see burnt corpses leading Zach.
Yeah, there was some kind of weird hippie just sitting
now,
on his couch.
I think they omitted something in the movie.
Oh, yes.
Because because this doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Zach gets home because the car's been destroyed. You know, the car's disappeared. So he gets home and he finds, you know, this guy just laying on his couch with a huge machete. The guy runs out and runs out of the backyard.
But Zach if he had a machete, why wouldn't he just attack Zach?
I don't know. But he ran away. Zach goes out in the back garden, and there is what he assumes to be his family's dead and is burnt charred.
Torch. Yeah, they're crispy. They're
now,
crispy critters.
Those things, I mean, okay, you know, Uncle Ben and Aunt Beru in Star Wars are less torched than these guys are.
Exactly.
These guys are crispified, you know, flamethrower level.
They're crispy critters.
So he decides, okay, well, and he starts to get obviously very emotional. So he packs his bag and he prepares to go out of town. He's like, that's it. I'm done. I'm out of here. But he has a change of heart and goes back to Beth's house, which is ridiculous.
Hold on. So the photograph of Beth that Zach grabs near the end of the film was clearly taken from the final scene of Parks and Recreation.
Oh, I didn't.
Or episode 6, The End of the World.
Oh, because he picks it up and then he puts it down. And then he picks it up again, and then he puts it into his bag. So he was almost like in a half mind of like, okay, that was her, but I don't want to remember her the way that she is now. But I've got to remember her. So he, it's very hard.
The way she was,
The way she was. So he does go back to Beth's home, and she's officially turned into a mindless, bloodthirsting zombie.
Oh, this is hilarious! This is apparently hilarious.
Apparently, we've seen that she has eaten her father. And it's led Jeannie, her mother, trying to solve the problem. The problem was that she has chained her to the stove in the kitchen.
She tried to stake her like a vampire, and there's a chair leg
and that didn't work.
Her chest, and then
she's chained her to
the stove.
But now she's already eaten her father. And what is Jeannie doing to try and solve her?
She's feeding her bits of something.
Jeannie has cut off each of her fingers and is giving it to Beth to
quench
her.
Oh, I thought she said that Jeannie or that Beth had accidentally eaten her fingers, bit off her fingers.
Yeah, and she's got a meat cleaver, but she's actually cut her fingers off and she's feeding it to Beth to try and quench.
Right, that's what I thought, but then I thought she said that Beth had bitten off her fingers and then she was feeding her bits of her dad or something.
No, she'd eaten her father, so she's cutting off the mother's cutting off her fingers to try and subdue her craving for food. So she's giving bits of her fingers.
That's disgusting.
And of course, I love how Zach comes in and he's bandaging the mother's hand. He goes, "Okay, so I'll deal with
this." Which is an awfully clean bandage, by the way.
A very clean bandage, but he's bending her up, and instead of and you said to the movie, go to the hospital, don't say what you're doing.
She's he's like, no, you need to go away, I'll take care of this. And she's like, okay, I'll just be in the other room. And it's like, don't get your hand seen to, you stupid woman.
But she's got her hand bandaged and he's trying to elevate it to stop her from passing out with
the
amount
of
blood
loss.
Well,
because the blood is just gushing from her fingers.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just so Zach finally, you know, convinces Jeannie to let him take Beth with him. And I think this is where it's like, okay, but they remember Beth wants to go for a hike. That's all she wants to do.
Yep.
So I was like, okay. So he decides, he says to Beth, and Beth is really, she's like, she's got the dark sunglasses on, but she pulls the dark sunglasses off and her eyes are now just clouded over white. Yeah. So she is just, she's got,
and she's blood. Got the, zombie,
yeah, she is a zombie. She is completely zombified, ready to attack anyone. That's why she's being chained to the stove.
Yeah.
So he says to, so Zetka says to her, okay, let's go for a hike. You want to go for a hike? Let's go. So,
oh, actually, before you go into that,
yeah,
before they went to go see Pearlene,
yeah,
Beth was actually talking on the phone. Remember when he came in, she was on the phone.
Oh, yes, yes, that's right. We didn't know.
She was apparently talking on the phone with Andy, which is an obvious reference to her role in Parks and Recreation, in which her husband, played by Chris Pratt, is called Andy.
Okay, but once again, we weren't told that, because all we see is she's on the phone. And I remember
Maury
saying,
"Did say Andy." I did hear that.
Oh, did you? I didn't even hear that.
Because Zach was like, "Who the hell's Andy?"
Oh, right. I didn't hear that part, yeah. Unfortunately. So we do see that, you know, he says to. We're getting towards the end of the movie.
Yeah,
he says to Beth, okay, so.
Oh, you also skipped over the MRI.
Oh, okay.
When Zach first came back and told his family that Beth was back, they thought he was crazy, and his mother took him for an MRI, and there was a massive goof on this, because he's laying in the middle of the MRI machine, looks up and looks out of the machine toward his feet, and sees his mother sitting there reading a magazine. Which, A, she wouldn't have been allowed in the room because of the massive magnetic resonance, but also he would have been yelled at for moving because it messes with the image.
That's right. I remember you saying that.
Yeah.
So that was a bit
a
of
major
a goof.
Oops.
There are goofs and there are continuity errors, and we're getting towards the last part where we both have to sit here and say there's something wrong with. So we'll get there.
Yeah. So he convinces
we do see that
Beth to go for a hike. And
but I like the fact that she stands up. Now,
and the stove comes with her.
Yeah. So she's attached to the stove and she's walking out with the stove on her back.
On her back.
Of course, as we see, you know, Zach goes outside and who shows up? Kyle. And he's been deputized as a eradicator of zombies. Now,
part of the resistance.
Yeah. Oh, my God. But, yeah, he's shooting any zombies in his path.
Well, he's shooting anything because a little old lady comes running out screaming and you think she's running away from zombies and he turns around and shoots her.
The funny thing is he's talking to Zach. He's like, yes, and so bang. Well, I was talking about this. So he doesn't miss a beat. He doesn't shoot her and stop. He literally shoots and continues talking after the gunshot.
Yeah.
So I was like, wow, okay. And now, I like the fact this scene is awesome. And this is one of the things that really attracted me to this movie is that, you know, there is Beth and she's walking out with the stove on her back and she falls backwards and now she looks like
a turtle.
And I like how Kyle says to Zach, that's not normal, because she's going rah 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 and she's flailing away.
Yeah, that is the scene from the previews that got me to actually watch this movie.
It
I
was
just thought that was hilarious.
I loved it. And even Zach looks at it and goes, no, it's okay, she's fine.
Now, before we get on, I actually just want to point out that Aubrey Plaza, who plays Beth, later after this appeared with Matthew Gray Gubler, who is Zach's brother Kyle, in Criminal Minds,
okay.
which Matthew Gray Gubler is a central character. She appeared as Kat Adams in 4 episodes.
Oh, okay.
Of Criminal Minds.
Criminal Minds, yeah.
Which is actually a very good show.
It is a good show. I've actually watched several episodes. I don't mind that one. Yeah. So we do see that, you know, when Kyle's talking about the fact that, you know, because Zach says, you know, that, you know, our parents are dead. And he's like, no, 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 they're not. They're alive. They're hiding in a safe house. And of course, he then gives Zach his gun and tells him that he needs to let Beth go. And at one stage, you know, there is Kyle about to shoot Beth. And Zach's like, no, 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 don't do it. And he's like, come on. You just take the gun, shoot her in the head. And he's like, I can't do that. And he's like, you got to do what you've got to do, but you need to take care of this. So now the next scene we see is Zach and Beth on a hike. And I love this scene because they're walking along the path in the hills. She's got the stove attached to her back and he has slung a radio over her neck playing smooth jazz. just to keep her under control.
That and is course, hilarious.
It is awesome because she's still going rah, 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 trying to, you know, just, you know, there's blood everywhere and she's zombified, ready to go, but she can't run because of this huge bloody stove on her back. But to keep her under control, the smooth jazz is keeping her going. So it's like, okay. So, you know, and there was a scene, and I think I just skipped over it a little bit, when Zach was sitting with her father saying all the things that he wanted to say to her, but he couldn't do it because she passed away too quickly. And her father said, there are so many things that I wanted to say.
So when you have the chance, tell her.
So at one stage, Kyle says to Zach, tell her everything you wanted to tell her. Take the gun, but tell her everything you wanted to say. Yeah. And they go on a hike.
And I love the fact that she likes flamenco dancing. And he had mentioned that he wanted to do that with her and wished that he had done that. Because he did actually, when they were in the attic, spend some time telling her a lot of these things.
Yeah.
And then later on, he runs over her with the car, she's like, let's go flamingo dancing.
And he goes, flamingo is not a dancing, it's a bird.
Flamenco.
But I actually mentioned, I think we actually skipped over a little bit, about the fact that they like to go up into the attic. Now, when he goes up in the attic the third or fourth time, she's covered the walls of the attic with mud. So it's like, and he goes, this is interesting. Why are we? So we obviously got that idea that she was embracing being buried. So she likes to be in enclosed spaces and the mud is reminding her of her grave. So it's like, okay. So when they get to a cliff and they stop to look at the view. And of course he tearfully apologizes for not doing all of the things that she wanted to do when she was alive. And he tells her that he loves her. And Beth at the last little minute is able to mutter the words, I love you too. It's at this stage that he grabs the gun, puts it to her head and shoots her in the head, and her body tumbles down the hill with the stove. Her arm goes flying off, but with the stove attached to her, crushing her as it goes down with her.
Yep.
And of course, and the funny thing is that when it finally comes to rest at the bottom, you can hear the smooth jazz playing. So if you don't like smooth jazz, stay away from this movie, but you will love this part. So we do see that Zach goes to the safe house where his mother and father have been held up, and he's reunited with his family. And he sees that Erica, the young girl that he was speaking to in the diner, she's come to join them on her own after her mother had turned into a zombie as well. And she was forced to kill her. And she actually does say to Zach that she was forced to kill her mother. And she's completely traumatized. And even Zach's mother says, I think that she's, you know, extremely traumatized what's happened. Of course, the power's all out. And then all of a sudden, the power comes on and the news comes on with it.
Oh, and don't forget, Kyle's like, well, where's my gun?
That's right. And he goes, well, I didn't want to keep that because that was...
He's like, well, I threw it down the ravine. Why would you throw it down the ravine? He's like, I just used it to kill my girlfriend. I didn't really want to keep it around.
And of course, what's Kyle's answer? That cost me a lot of money.
He's like, well, I thought you had like bazookas and stuff.
Yeah, because he said that when he was deputized, they got AK-47s, they got machine guns, they got tanks, bazookas. Bazookas, and so he was like, oh, and he's like, and when he says about the bazookas, he's like, yeah, but that gun cost me a lot of money. So I was, oh, okay. So when the news comes on with a report that although things seem messed up, people seem to be going back to normal. But it's really interesting because when the news reporter comes up, the guy as the news reporter is a dead guy, so he's reporting the news as well. So it's like, and of course the mother says, oh, I remember that guy, he was on TV about 5 years ago. So Zach's mum takes him and Erica to the graveyard where he visits Beth and Maury's grave. And I like how Maury's grave is just a normal grave, but Beth's is actually being encased in concrete, and it's got a welded
steel plate
on the top to make sure, because it says she was born in this time and died at this time,
and then five days later.
Yeah, it's like, oh my god. Of course, he does leave Beth's scarf on her grave, and they leave. And Zach asks Erica out to dinner, and she accepts and smiles as his mum drives away. The movie fades to black, and that is the end of the movie. Now, there is one thing about this whole movie that both Kat and I sat there after the movie and said to each other. How did it all start? And how did it finish so quickly? Why did they reanimate? How did they eradicate all the zombies?
Yeah.
These zombies are the most passive aggressive zombies. As long as you got smooth jazz, it's fine.
Yeah.
But I just, all I wanted to know is, how did this start?
Oh, I just realized, oh my God, seriously?
Yeah.
It's almost like the smooth jazz bit was inspired by the Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
I would definitely believe that was probably a catalyst of this movie.
Yeah.
The movie was great. Look, on a scale of 0 to 5 movie reels, how do I get the last 84 minutes of my life back to 5? It was a perfect movie and I'd watch this movie all over again. What would you give this movie?
You go first.
I'm giving it a solid 3. I thought it was hilarious, but there were some glaring problems and I just wanted to know, please, how did it start? Did someone resurrect these things?
Yeah.
I just don't know how this started.
There was, I would venture, if I had to place a bet on it, I would say that the guy that was his editor was probably his first film too.
Okay. So I'm actually going to just bump it up to 3.5 because I do think there were some hilarious moments. I mean, the fact that she was strapped to the stove that and it came with funny. Her and the fact that that she was hit by the car and then she was pinned under the wheel and she's like, no, I'm okay.
Yeah, there were some seriously...
There were some funny parts.
Genius comedic moments like that. And with the... Although I don't remember if the black car tire mark was on her dress later in the film.
Yeah, it was still there.
It was still there?
Yeah.
After
she got run over, it was still there for the rest of the movie. Even when she was walking with the stove, you could still see the tire mark on her.
You know, that with... And then the radio hanging around her neck was hilarious.
Yeah.
You know, it had its moments.
So what would you give this movie?
It had some seriously, like, what the hell is all of that about moments.
Yeah.
I thought that the guy who played Zach was genius. I thought the girl who played Beth was by far the best thing about this film.
She was great. She
As
really
I said,
was.
I think Paul Reiser and the guy who played her dad should have been
John
swapped.
C. Reilly, yeah.
I think Paul Reiser would have done a better job in that role.
He was very underutilized.
Yeah, extremely.
Yeah.
Matthew Gray Gubler didn't need to be such a whack job.
No, he didn't.
Although I bet he had a ball playing it.
They could have just pushed him down a little bit and said, okay, over the top, you know.
Yeah, they should have pulled him back a bit.
Yeah.
Honestly, for me, it's a 2.5. If I had to push, I could put it to a 3.
I can't go any further than a 3.5 because honestly,
a lot of the acting was not great.
Yeah.
A lot of they left out a lot of things.
There's a lot of explanation that they should have actually done.
Yeah.
I wanted to understand because when we first see her, she's just walking along the hillside. So we don't know.
With no explanation.
Yeah.
We don't know. You know, I mean, it's easy enough to kind of figure out that this guy's girlfriend was the one who died. And that, you know, that actually didn't need a lot of exposition, but there are other things that just. Yeah.
But one thing,
because all of a sudden the power comes back on and the news, the TV comes on the news
saying,
and it's
it's
everything's getting back to normal now.
Yeah.
It's like, well, why?
Now, one thing actually I found very interesting, just going back to, what's her name? The Haitian lady.
Pearline.
Pearline, right? So when he goes to the Pearline's supposed house, you know, and the fact that he's talking to the cousin, he says, you know, what was the reason that she resigned so quickly? And we found out that Maury, you know, was walking around naked. But we also found out what the cousin was saying is that Maury also wanted her to walk around naked and touch his penis.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay.
Which I accept that her leaving for that
completely
point.
Fine.
Yeah.
But the honest truth is that after that sort of scenario, well, and obviously she left the house because of that, but did she also leave the house because she saw Beth again? You know, that was almost, but as I said, it just leaves a lot of, I mean, look, for 84 minutes, you'll actually enjoy sitting and watching this movie. If you don't dive too deeply into it, if you don't want to have a lot of why or how or where, then you'll enjoy the movie.
I mean, it was silly. It was fun. It's one of those that's better if you're drinking.
But if you really want to know why how did they come back to life, you're not going to be told.
Yeah,
we don't know.
I'm not advocating alcohol consumption or alcoholism, but it's definitely better. It's more, it's funnier if you're drunk.
But we certainly don't, right to this moment, we still don't know how it is that they came back to life and why it all suddenly ended so quickly.
Yep. Okay, now I do have one final piece of trivia for you.
Yes.
So the characters of Beth and Zach are apparently in college, even though it's right now summer break. The actors, Aubrey Plaza and Dane DeHaan, were 30 and 28, respectively, when the film was released.
Really?
Which isn't to say that you can't be in college at that age.
No, no. That's,
but they were not returned to college kids. They were right out of high school college kids.
Okay.
I was returned to college kid.
Yes, you were. But no, I thoroughly enjoyed this movie. As I said,
it was
this movie is currently on Shudder. So if you do get Shudder, which is a streaming platform that is just dedicated to horror movies and a lot of cult movies.
And like we are not endorsed by Shudder.
We are not endorsed by Shudder, but if they want to sponsor us, it would save me a lot of money per month.
Well, especially for the Horror Crypt.
Yeah, but certainly if you want to watch it on Shudder, it is available right now.
It's probably available elsewhere too. We just can't be bothered to look.
Yeah, but we watched it on Shudder, and I did thoroughly enjoy it. And the reason that it sucked me into watching it is because of the trailer, and the trailer was great. So I did thoroughly enjoy this one. So
okay,
we're done.
Well, we want to thank you for joining us on the Home Class Movie Chat. It's been an absolute delight sharing this time with you. And I don't know what we're doing next time, but we will be back shortly. And in the meantime, grab your popcorn, your drink, and your candy, and we'll see you at the movies.
Bye, everyone.
If you have an influence over your youthful friend, you better exert it now. Otherwise, I will have both of you row off to the hell where people are skinned alive. It's that simple, understand?
Are you crazy? Is that your problem?
No, he means it, Jack.
My problem is this place. This place is my tomb. I'm buried here. A young man, a king, a warrior. This entombment, this old man's crippled body. And all I need is a woman, Mr. Burton. Special kind of woman with dragon green eyes to make me whole again, young again, so that I may rule the universe from beyond this grave.
Ching Dai, the god of the east.
Who, him? This guy?
No, not me, Mr. Burton. If it comes hunger, my demon, the god I must appease in order to regain my heart, my blood. To a girl with green eyes to satisfy Ching Dai, a girl brave enough to embrace the naked blade. And when I find her, I will marry her.
Never!
Then Ching Dai will be happy and my curse will be lifted.
Go off and rule the universe from beyond the grave.
Indeed!
Or check into a psycho ward, whichever comes first, huh?